In his noted 1959 talk, Plenty of Room at the Bottom, now viewed as a clarion call for nanotechnology, Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman said, "It is a staggeringly small world that is below." At a time when computers were still big enough to fill a large room, he asked, "Why can't we make them of little wires, little elements?" Feynman's dream of computer elements physically manifesting as mere atoms now is coming true with the development of nanometer-scale computer technology. A wide array of industries is beginning to reap the potential of this small world. In products, from sunscreen to industrial coatings and stain-resistant clothing, consumers also are seeing the benefits of products built with materials measured in billionths of a meter. Nanotechnology offers vast promise and commercial opportunities in fields such as health, medicine, energy, environmental remediation, and technology.
In this edition of the ACE Casualty Risk Podcast, Connie Germano of ACE Casualty Risk's excess casualty business will address the risk management challenges associated with rapidly evolving nanotechnologies as medical research and government regulation lag the market's development. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. Connie Germano is Senior Vice President for ACE Casualty Risk's excess casualty business. Based in New York City, Connie has more than 20 years of insurance industry experience in the primary package and excess liability lines of business. She joined ACE USA in 2003 as Vice President of Energy Excess Casualty and subsequently added the role of Eastern Zonal Manager, responsible for all aspects of branch operations in the Eastern Zone, encompassing Atlanta, Boston, New York City, and Philadelphia. We spoke with Connie in ACE USA's Philadelphia headquarters. Connie, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation.
Connie, give us a little bit of background on the definition of nanotechnology.
A crucial advantage as well as a core challenge of nanotechnology is that at a really small scale, even very well understood materials can act in very different ways. For example, at nanosize, gold's familiar yellow glitter turns to red. The nanoscale, typically defined as between 1 and 100 nanometers, lies between the world of classical Newtonian physics and its certainties and the far stranger world of quantum mechanics, where those certainties give way to probabilities. Among other things, nanoscale particles may be more highly reactive than their larger counterparts and also may be absorbed more readily and travel more freely through the human body. That means that nanoscale materials offer both the hope of new medical treatments for diseases and the potential danger of new threats to safety. It's important to note that nanotechnology involves not new materials, but smaller forms of familiar materials and new variations of a well-known process.
Now, it sounds as if nanotechnology is a growing field. Is that a correct perception?
Yes, it is. Nanotechnology represents a rapidly growing field for research, investment, and profitable commerce. In fact, the worldwide investment in nanotechnology from the public and private sectors topped $13.9 billion in 2007, with private sector funding at more than $7 billion. In addition, the United States, through the end of fiscal year 2009, will have invested nearly $10 billion in the National Nanotechnology Initiative. And nearly one-sixth of global merchandise will contain nanomaterials or be manufactured using nanotechnology by 2014, according to one estimate. The end result is that this potential makes nanotechnology an irresistible opportunity for business, as well as a potentially large source of new risk.
It sounds as though nanotechnology has some far-reaching effects. How does this affect new product development and the potential impact on the environment?
In today's marketplace, nanotechnology is relied upon to build lighter, faster, less expensive, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly processes and products. Products using nanotechnology are hitting the market at an accelerating rate. In fact, since March 2006, the number of nanotechnology products on the market has nearly tripled to more than 600 and includes such items as whitening toothpaste using nanoparticles of calcium peroxide, sunscreen using zinc or titanium dioxide, antibacterials using silver, and so-called nanocomposite parts for automobiles. Other products incorporating nanotechnology are sports equipment, such as tennis rackets and golf clubs using carbon nanotubes, and computer memory using nanoscale technology. all told, about $50 billion worth of products included nanotechnology in 2006, a number that Lux Research has estimated will go as high as $2.6 trillion by 2014.
Seems what you're saying is nanotechnology is having a tremendous impact on commerce, on new product development. What about the impact in the field of medicine?
As nanotechnology plays an ever-increasing role in the consumer goods market, a great deal of medical research is looking into utilizing nanotechnology in a variety of drugs and treatments, such as creating artificial skin, developing sensors to detect glucose levels in diabetics, and creating targeted drug delivery programs for cancer patients.
There are also some opportunities for nanotechnologies to be used in environmental remediation. Isn't that right?
Yes. From an environmental standpoint, nanoparticles of iron rust could be used to remove arsenic from drinking water and poisoned wells, and other kinds of iron particles can be used to remediate polluted sites.
Some of the things that people worry about are the unknown risks associated with nanotechnology. What about those?
While they studied the benefits of nanotechnology, researchers didn't ignore the potential risks or unintended consequences. It's important to note that the risks inherent in nanoparticles are due to their small size, which allows the particles to be more readily absorbed into the environment and more readily absorbed by humans. Once in the body, nanoparticles are able to travel more freely than their larger cousins, including entering cell membranes and crossing the blood-brain barrier. The particles also react more strongly because of their exponentially larger available surface area per unit of volume than larger particles. As an example of unintended consequences, nanoparticles may enter the outside environment through a variety of intentional or unintentional means. For instance, nanoparticles being created or used to build other products in manufacturing facilities or laboratories may find their way into the environment through air exhaust vents or wastewater systems. And while the ultimate risks of nanoparticles in the environment is still an open question, there is little doubt that some of these particles will find their way into the world outside the factory and into the laboratory.
Connie, while research into nanotechnology is clearly demonstrating it has an impact on medicine, the environment, and ultimately on commerce, how is the data being received in the marketplace?
As nanotechnology plays a greater role in commerce, public perception, whether positive or negative, will have a strong influence on its reception in the marketplace, on government regulations, and possibly on litigation. A case in point is public opposition to genetically modified crops, particularly in Europe, where such crops have been a hot political issue. The European Union's opposition to genetically modified crops such as corn and soybeans led to a decade of agricultural trade tensions with the United States, which is a major exporter of such crops. Though the weight of scientific evidence supports the safety of such food, a 2003 survey showed that more than half of Americans were opposed to genetically modified foods. In Europe, the opposition rose to 89% in France, 81% in Germany, and 74% in Italy.
So what does this feedback demonstrate as far as the general awareness of nanotechnology for the average American?
While genetically modified foods have engendered strong public debate, nanotechnology has yet to arouse the same kind of awareness and opposition. In a 2007 survey, only 6% of Americans said they had heard a lot about nanotechnology, while 70% said they had heard little or nothing at all. Consider this data. Nearly two-thirds of those surveyed said, however, that they would want more information about the risks and benefits before buying foods enhanced by nanotechnology. That is, food that has been processed using nanotechnology or to which nanoparticles have been added. In addition, a 2007 survey of nanotechnology firm managers also showed a lack of sufficient information, particularly on the part of smaller firms, on environmental health and safety issues and a desire by these managers for more guidance from suppliers, industry, and government regulators.
Connie, can you talk a little bit about the role of government regulation on nanotechnology and the regulations involved in their broader content or use?
Of course. Technology in this case has outpaced government regulation and guidance. Typically, products containing nanotechnology are subjected to regulations revolving around their broader content or use, rather than for their inclusion of specific nanotechnologies. In February 2008, the European Commission adopted a voluntary code of conduct for nanoscience and nanotechnology research that encourages researchers to consider potential environmental, health, and safety impacts and to take the appropriate precautions. In the United States, the National Nanotechnology Initiative has been coordinating research into the environmental, health, and safety issues and will have invested roughly $256 million between the fiscal years 2005 and 2009 into research on the risks of nanomaterials.
How do companies in a variety of industries deal with this very broad issue of nanotechnology?
That's a great question. Companies have been left to come up with their own procedures and principles for handling the risks of nanotechnology. As an example, cutting-edge companies in the chemical and pharmaceutical industries have adopted their own codes of conduct to govern nanotechnology research and production of nanoscale materials that include guiding principles addressing the protection of human life and the environment, the careful evaluation of potential risks, and the development of appropriate safeguards.
With so much information out in the marketplace on this topic, are there best practices or a key considerations list that risk managers can use to address these nanotechnology threats?
Yes. In order to evaluate and then mitigate the risks to the corporation, its employees, and the public, the first step is to find out to what extent or what level of involvement the organization actually has in nanotechnology. Communicate. Quite often, operational managers and executives may be aware of the company's nanotechnology initiatives or activities, but that information is not communicated to the risk management department. In evaluating risks, the process begins with careful communication between the research and development group and the risk management department. This allows the risk manager to be made aware of current or projected utilization of any nanomaterials. The assessment of the hazards and potential impact will include the identification of the materials to be used, the setting in which they will be utilized, and the potential exposure this will pose to people in the environment. Next, stay up to date. Many companies may eschew any regulatory guidelines for their own, often stricter guidelines. Therefore, it's essential to take into account current studies that indicate that the smaller the size of the particle, the greater its potential toxicity. Then plug into new resources. As the nanotechnology market grows, so too will the market for businesses dedicated to the identification of risks and exposures, as well as the evaluation of legal issues related to the use of nanotechnology. Then nanoparticles related to macro risks. As government continues to research safety issues and in the absence of direct regulation, risk managers must develop their own strategies for identifying, quantifying, and mitigating the accompanying hazards. An open dialogue between risk managers, research and development departments, and manufacturing personnel is essential.
What are some of the potential risks to, say, employees and other third parties?
A primary concern in mitigating the risk of nanomaterials is protecting the employees that handle these substances. For example, employees in certain manufacturing environments may breathe in nanoparticles. The particles may accumulate on their skin and be absorbed that way, or the particles may infiltrate a protective suit through gaps at the wrists. A first step in risk management, then, is to evaluate how the materials are being handled by employees and what new measures need to be taken to address these possible exposures to nanoscale material. The company or organization should also consider the presence of visitors, whether they are suppliers or contractors, or simply guests.
Can you address the risks to end users and the environmental risks?
Well, beyond the manufacturing site, the company will have to assess how the product and its manufacturing process may affect the local environment through ventilation and waste removal systems. In addition, the prudent company will take into consideration how any product will affect its end users, perhaps as a material in people's homes. These considerations would include whether the product will break down in the home or the environment by dissolving into the air where people might be exposed in an enclosed environment or by escaping in groundwater.
And how can these risks be mitigated?
The risk assessment process will include the employees handling the materials, third parties who may come into contact with the nanomaterials, consumers or end users, and finally, the environment. After assessing the risks at every juncture, the company can take the necessary mitigation measures. Though the federal government has not established baseline exposure guidelines for employees and third parties, there are sources of independent research and knowledge that can be included in the risk management process. Potential resources include the National Nanotechnology Initiative and the Center for Biological Environment Nanotechnology at Rice University, as well as the Project on Emerging Nanotechnologies.
Should risk managers be documenting their efforts?
Yes, risk managers should document the measures being taken and make sure that the procedures are in fact implemented. Among the measures to be considered, companies may need to upgrade the protective clothing worn by employees, to invest in more sophisticated exhaust and ventilation systems, or even to limit handling of nanomaterials to clean room environments. All of these steps, however, will have to be taken into the context of incomplete but continuing research into the human and environmental impacts.
Connie, your business is managing risk. Can you talk about transferring nanotechnology risks? What are the options for risk managers, companies seeking insurance, and risk management solutions?
Well, today, specific nanomaterial exclusions are not in general use in insurance policies. However, some harm would most likely be excluded under pollution exclusions. Nonetheless, the insurability of companies involved in nanotechnology will depend on a careful evaluation of the uses and controls of nanomaterials within the company, along with a well-documented environmental health and safety program. The areas of concerns for insurers will run the gamut of usual risk management issues, including environmental impacts, potential human health exposures to employees, and potential occupational disease impact and third-party liability impacts.
Are there any underwriting issues or concerns?
In most cases, insurers will assess the risk based on potential impact to the overall fair return of profit on the insurance policy in relation to the coverage provided. In other words, if the policy cannot be written profitably, coverage may become scarce. For underwriters, risk selection will continue to be of paramount importance. Best-in-class risks with proper controls, oversight, and documentation for this emerging area will be looked upon favorably by underwriters willing to insure nanotechnology risks. As research continues and maximum exposure rules are established, compliance with new guidelines will become a more significant component of the risk management and underwriting processes.
Has the industry introduced new products or coverages to ensure such risks?
Right now, there are no specialized coverages, but that is mostly a factor of the limited awareness and uncertainty as nanotechnology begins to come to the forefront of manufacturing and as the risks are gradually identified. As the technology evolves and research begins to define the risks, specialized policies likely will be developed to deal with the newly identified insurable risks.
You mentioned it earlier. How do exclusions factor into the risk mitigation process?
Well, some risks may be deemed uninsurable, and it will be necessary to develop and use exclusions as a common practice for underwriters. For instance, if research shows certain materials are carcinogenic or may cause severe environmental damage, then sound underwriting practices will require that insurance contract be designed to exclude the uninsurable risks. Reinsurers may see exclusions as necessary due to the lack of clarity in the regulatory environment on proper assessment and controls. Restrictions required by reinsurers would subsequently have an impact on the primary underwriter through treaty exclusions. And as science progresses, the need for exclusions may ease, but prepared underwriters will not be caught short if they're aware of the potential risks.
So how can risk managers and brokers find nanotechnology coverage for their clients?
Companies wishing to review their coverage options related to nanotechnology should seek to work with an insurer that has both the required expertise and the necessary financial strength to address nanotechnology risks. Because many companies dealing in nanotechnology operate on an international basis, among the factors to consider are whether the insurer has the global underwriting experience necessary in today's worldwide marketplace, whether the insurer is able to issue local underlying policies to cover the company's operations around the world, and whether the carrier has international claims expertise. Risk managers should seek out global insurers with the ability to match business coverage to the actual risks and with a worldwide network of in-country claims experts.
Connie, is there anything else you want to add about nanotechnology?
Nanotechnology covers a vast and rapidly evolving area of both science and commerce. New discoveries and new products are emerging on a weekly basis. Keeping abreast of the impact on risks of these new technologies, processes, and products is a challenge for risk managers. As nanotechnology plays a growing role in commerce, insurers and underwriters will be increasingly taking these risks into account. Nanotechnology is a moving target for risk managers who know from experience that just like any chemical or materials, something that is acceptable today may not be tomorrow. By keeping ahead of the curve, risk managers can limit their future exposures as well as more reliably manage their risks and insurance costs today.
It's an exciting and interesting topic. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the ACE Casualty Risk Podcast. The views expressed by Ms. Germano are her own and do not represent those of ACE USA or any of the ACE group of companies. The material presented in this podcast is not intended to provide legal or other expert advice as to any of the subjects mentioned, but is presented for general information only. Listeners should consult knowledgeable legal counsel or other experts as to any legal or other questions they may have. Any references to insurance are also intended for general information only. For actual terms and conditions of any insurance, please refer to the policy. Coverage may not be available in all states. ACE Casualty Risk is a division of ACE USA, the retail U.S.-based operating division of the ACE group of companies. ACE USA, through its operating companies, is a leading provider of property, casualty, and accident and health insurance, as well as financial products and risk management services. The ACE Group of Companies is a global leader in insurance and reinsurance, serving a diverse group of clients. The ACE Group of Companies conducts its business on a worldwide basis with operating subsidiaries in more than 50 countries. Additional information can be found at www.aceusa.com. For Connie Germano and everyone at ACE USA, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.